Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Tom Rose, PhD, Head of Global Innovation and Client Solutions for Achieve Forum. And we're going to be talking about his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. Pleased to be here.
Yes, no, we're excited to have you on. It's interesting. I've had an opportunity to scan through the book. And you have certainly put a lot of data and a lot of information in the book. Tell me a little bit about where the concept came from. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to write this book and so forth.
Sure. I thought what I might do, David, is start by describing what disruption means, because that's the starting point for the book, is navigating disruption. So essentially what disruption means is big shifts in our internal and external business environments that are prompting us to change what we do or how we do it. And what's interesting is that's touching virtually every segment of the economy, from business to healthcare, not-for-profits, and higher ed. So it's touching all of us. And so what's new about this change today is the level of uncertainty that comes along. So for example, in a recent survey, about 85% of executives anticipate disruptive change impacting the organization. And the other side of that coin is they think about 44 or 45% of them think that their organizations are ready to deal with that change. So there are a number of things happening. There is technology, obviously touching every segment of the economy, globalization, talent shifts, regulatory changes. All of these things are impacting organizations. And interestingly, of them, technology is certainly a big, big thing. It's about 90% of executives anticipate that technology will force them to make a change in the way they do business. And so it's on us and the forecasts that are going to be with us. And so we need to sort of figure out how to achieve results and negotiate our way through this turbulence and uncertainty. And that's the starting point for the book.
I understand. You know, it's disruption is something that certainly is becoming more and more common. It's technology and other segments are changing more rapidly than ever. You know, it's one of those things in which, hey, the minute you get a piece of technology, it's expired almost, in the sense that something is already faster, smarter, cheaper in the way it's done. How did you decide that you would need to write a book about that?
A part of the research project here is to interview CHROs and senior HR leaders about how they're viewing the world of disruption. And to borrow an observation made by a CHRO, so the current business models are not working for leaders today. Priorities, timelines, staffing, budgets, they're constantly evolving, and we need a new model. So what prompted me to write the book is the recognition that the models that we have in place are not working. They're not helping leaders succeed. They know it. CEOs know it. They can see more change coming. And their HR business partners, CHROs, talent management, HR business partners, all of those roles see that coming. And so what I wanted to do is try and solve that problem.
So when you looked and you spoke to a lot of the CHROs and the research that you're doing, and I understand that it's also still underway. You know, you talk about some themes that have come across, right? Some themes that are constant in this changing, transformative environment. What are some of those themes?
Well, so if I can, David, let me start with HR. So, you know, what I believe, and I think many HR professionals believe this too, is that HR are the stewards of leadership and culture in their organizations. And as such, they're key to helping individual leaders and leadership teams and organizations negotiate their way through success given all this disruption. And so there are a handful of things that they're doing to meet the challenge of this new terrain. And so on the talent management side, one of the things they're doing is focusing more on sort of the business issues they're dealing with and their engagement with executives on those business issues. So here's a quick data point. 70% of talent management professionals in a recent poll we did said that engaging business leaders about the linkage between their business challenges and the leadership development solution that they're bringing to those senior level leaders is the biggest challenge. 70%. Now, the other two choices, understanding business priorities, designing good solutions, those were well in hand, but sort of engaging leaders about their solutions is really, really a big, big challenge. And why that's so important is if you flip the coin now back over to the executive, to the senior level leaders, they know their leaders have to adopt different leadership behavior. The challenge is they're in time-compressed, problem-rich environments. So you've got to learn and do at the same time. And so that's the challenge for talent management. Then on the HR business partner side, you know, the HR business partners by many CEOs are seen as the key levers in driving sort of change leadership, leadership differences and the way they conduct those roles to their senior clients. And, you know, the challenge here is a bit of we've got to walk our talk. So many of us have talked about the importance of transformational leadership behavior, and we have an opportunity as HR professionals to do more of that when we're doing it right now. So that means helping leaders reframe stubborn problems, helping them devise different solutions that meet the challenge of getting the work done, but also increase the use of leadership behaviors that are critical to success. So on the business partner side, that's one of the key challenges, is to actually do transformational leadership with our clients. And then at the same time, we've got to establish strong relationships with our senior clients to genuinely understand what their goals are, their concerns. And so the where this all comes together is HR people are pretty good at establishing relationships. The challenge in front of us is how do we bring the focus on results to those relationships to move the ball, to kind of make those important changes happen. And then finally, kind of synchronizing, deepening the collaboration between the HR business partners and talent management, learning development is also a huge opportunity for organizations. In a way, we tell our clients we've got to do a good job of working across organizational boundaries or collaborating across organizational boundaries, and we in HR need to follow that advice too.
We're talking with Tom Rose. He's the author of Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Tom, you know, you talk about that conversation between senior leadership, HR business partners, and others within the organization. There is no question that communication today and the leveraging of that communication across platforms has become more difficult. Certainly become more difficult because of the many different avenues that people communicate now. It used to be, obviously, you know, people would talk to one another. Then it became email, and then we get to texting, then we get to social media, then we got to, and now we get to emojis. You know, it's funny. I saw a post, which was really actually humorous. It showed hieroglyphics from 4,000 years ago, and it shows emojis under it and says, in 4,000 years, our communication hasn't improved much. So, you know, the reality is that it becomes a challenge in corporations, in companies, big or small, doesn't really matter the size. Family businesses have some of the same challenges. Right. How do you break down those communicative bases and barriers to get to allow the managing that needs to be done in an effective way?
Well, it's a great question, and it's part of the terrain that we're trying to problem solve our way through. So one of the things we know is that people rely on social media more than they did before. And so what we need to do is acknowledge that that's true. So when it comes to things like communication and leadership behavior, there are technologies that are evolving that telescope and compress and streamline communication between leaders and the direct reports. So there are technologies that exist that can help do that. There are the social media. There are a variety of other kinds of applications that help people learn to do things differently, that are being experimented with. A lot of this innovation is happening in healthcare, interestingly enough. And so we can take fuller advantage of those resources, but I think relationships are still important. And we know that communicating digitally is critical, but complementing that with a focus on relationships is also important. And, you know, I think being able to use all of those media in a coordinated and focused way is the key. And there are lots of choices, lots of new exciting capabilities that are coming online to help us do all that.
You know, it's interesting. You talk a little bit about HR professionals. HR has always had an important role, as you said, within the organization. And, you know, only recently in the last decade or so has it really had what they coin in the industry a seat at the table. But there's a lot of shifting and happening that way in terms of the business strategy, right, and the business partner side.
Right.
And you talk a little bit about that that human capital reports, I believe you cite Deloitte's, shows a 3-point drop in senior leadership satisfaction with HR. Why do you see that, and what do you think attributes to that in an age where human resources and the need for compliance, the need for talent management, and certainly the need today for talent in general is so critical?
Well, so I think part of it is we're trying to succeed. I mean, I think one of the things that we do to demonstrate that we're adding value is work on things that can create numbers for us and demonstrate impact. And so we become a bit too focused on our programs and our numbers, and I think that's natural. I think what we need to do is shift our focus. So one CEO I just talked with last week said that the CEO believes that HR are the key kind of stewards of leadership and culture, and he basically said, look, really, HR needs to help me with three things. They need me to help find great talent. They need to onboard and coach that talent. And so there's, as we're doing that, we need, as we talked about earlier, to see that important results are driving, being accomplished, that we're really being great allies to our clients. And I think today we're a bit too focused on our programs, and we see that in surveys of executives. I really need people to be shoulder to shoulder with me in implementing the strategy. So having a seat at the table is part of it, but you've got to do something in that seat. And I think what senior level leaders want us to do is help them deal with the learn-do gap in more creative ways and to be a bit more focused on sort of driving results, even as we try to do the right things that we need to do for the people in the organizations that we have an accountability to as HR professionals.
I think you're absolutely spot on. I think certainly the role of HR has traditionally been tactical, and most HR is considered tactical. Mm-hmm. When in fact, the strategic element of it is as critical as the tactical. And there is a disconnect sometimes between the CEO and the CFO, who are number and business drivers, that they don't necessarily see the person in the role as that as that strategic person. They see them more as tactical. And there's an education process, right, that has
That's
to go
right.
through the process to get the HR professional to see, one, the numbers, to see the strategic measurements, and to see that it has to be not just a program but a long-term solution.
That's right. I completely agree with you, David. I think part of what we can do is, you know, so we know that context matters, culture and leadership behavior matter, and we know how to measure that. We have things like organizational surveys, engagement surveys, 360s, 180s, micro surveys. We have a lot of capabilities. What we often do is miss the connection between those results and business outcomes. So something as simple as plotting engagement over time and success against business initiatives over time can help establish those linkages. There are other things we can do as well, but I think, it's sort of optimizing what we already have and refocusing on helping leaders accomplish what's really important. And the challenge is, as you mentioned, education. I think that's absolutely right. You know, we're the experts in the room when it comes to people matters. And I think what we have not done all that we can to educate leaders and then, more importantly, to get going, to take some concrete action that demonstrates an impact and then build on that over time. So I think that's one of the great opportunities in front of us. And if I may pivot to the book for a moment, you know, the research we did isolates the elements of the work environment, the critical leadership behaviors, and the change management tasks that successful leaders and successful organizations perform and achieve success in the climate of disruption. And once we've sort of picked a few things to work on, we can do two things. We can close the no-do gap. So a lot of people know what to do. They're just not doing it. So we need to figure out how to close that gap for people. Once again, there are ways to do that. And secondly, the impact gap. I think I'm doing X, but it's impacting people as X minus 1. I'm not quite having the impact I need. And so we have the tools to help leaders close those gaps in behavior and the behavior that drives results.
You know, driving results is the key, and we're going to talk a little about that and your book, Managing at the Leading Edge. Again, we're talking with Tom Rose, Head of Global Innovation and Client Solutions for Achieve Forum, and his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
At 154 years old, Veral Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Veral Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Veral Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at veraldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Tom Rose, Head of Global Innovation and Client Solutions for Achieve Forum, and his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. Again, great book, Tom. Glad to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
All right, so you mentioned that the book presents a new model of leadership. Mm-hmm. Can you describe it for us?
Sure. Let me start with the importance of images or models to us, if I may, David, and then introduce people to the one that's the basis of this book, if that would be helpful to you.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Great. So, you know, so let me start with an idea that is so fundamental to leadership today that we barely think a second time about it when we encounter it, and that is coaching. But coaching itself is really an idea that was born in another kind of human activity that we appropriated for leadership. So let me tell you a bit of that story.
Sure.
So originally, a coach was a 15th century innovation in horse-drawn carriages. So coaches were big carriages that transported someone in comfort from one city to another to cross long distances in comfort. And so a couple centuries later, the idea of coaching gets applied to education. Tutors at Oxford were called coaches, and what they did is help students prepare for challenging exams. So once again, they're helping people make the journey from where they are to some destination in greater comfort. Then in the 1860s, coaching gets borrowed by sports, and what coaches do is prepare athletes for competition. Then when does it begin to touch leadership? And it begins to touch leadership in the 1930s. And here you start, that's when you see the first mention of coaches. And what coaches do, what supervisors do as coaches is teach people to do tasks. It's part of the whole high potential movement that started to make its way through industry in the 1930s. And then today, coaching is morphed again. Now in disruption, what people think of when they think about coaching is two things: teaching someone to do something and learning. I was talking with a leader of a major business line in a financial services company a couple months ago, and he said that's essentially what he thinks of as coaching today. He's got to learn from his people because the level of disruptions is occurring and the level of technical knowledge that his direct report team has is deeper than his own. And yet he has the perspective and acumen as a senior business leader, and he needs to bring both together. So I think so coaching begins as an idea, an image, transporting a person from one location to another across a long distance in comfort. And so what I wanted to do is find an image, a related kind of image that puts all of the data that's in the book and that we've touched on briefly into an image that people can keep in their minds. And so I looked for an environment that's distinguished by a couple things. One is constant change, the constant change turbulence. And then part of the success then in managing that constant change is your ability to negotiate it. That's what success is. And what I came to is seamanship, navigating at sea. And one of the critical things is that what a successful sailor does, a high-performance sailor does, is he manages the leading edge successfully. And so what's the leading edge? In sailing, it's the point of the sail that makes contact with the wind and converts the resistance of the wind into forward momentum. And that's really one of the critical ideas. Now, when the wind changes at sea or the current changes, a good skipper doesn't complain. He simply either lowers one sail, puts up another, tacks. He makes adjustments, and it's all part, or she makes adjustments, all part of the process, right?
Absolutely.
And so the starting point for the image is, look, what we're all doing is managing the leading edge, the point of the contact between the initiative that we're on and the environment around us, the headwinds and the tailwinds. So that's the starting point. Now, it's interesting, if I can go back to the science for a moment, what we know is that successful leaders often invite resistance. What they'll say is, here's an idea I have. What do you think about it? What's wrong with my idea? How might I make it better? So in that case, you're essentially engaging resistance in a direct and straightforward way and using what you learned from those conversations to make your initiative stronger, better, the plan for implementation stronger and better. And so that's one critical element of the image. And then there are two leadership functions that a good skipper implements, and that's navigating and piloting. And so if I may take a moment to describe those two and then pull them together.
No, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Yeah, so navigating is what you do to get from the point of your origin to your near the coastline. And so that's really important to us today because, you know, as you hear in organizations, it's, you know, strategy du jour. It's we're changing direction once again, and there are big challenges we didn't anticipate as we're setting on our journey, and we need to make adjustments. So navigating is an idea that helps us understand that. But navigating alone won't get you to your final destination. The other kind of critical function is piloting. And so what's piloting? Piloting is what you do when you're close to the shoreline. And there are lots of challenges underwater that you don't know, can't see. There are shifts in tides and currents. There's other boat traffic. And what piloting means is navigating the time-compressed environment of the coastline passage. Now, how is this important to us and organizations? Well, starting point is an interesting statistic about navigation and piloting at sea. Most nautical accidents occur within sight of the shoreline. Interesting, eh? And so when you flip it over to the world of work and business, most strategic initiatives fail in execution, in the implementation plan. And about 70% of them get scuttled by some feature of the environment that people weren't aware of or didn't plan for or didn't negotiate. And so what we need to do then is piloting and navigating often sort of middle and first level leadership and senior level leadership need to collaborate more to synchronize their management of the leading edge, the forces that are working in their favor and against them, the headwinds and the tailwinds, to drive their initiatives to success. So the big idea is to think of what we're doing as negotiating through wind and wave to get to our destination. And if I may, you know, it's there are a lot of headwinds, a lot of tailwinds, so we're constantly detecting changes in the environment and making adjustment. And again, so piloting and navigating, managing at the leading edge, we're borrowing that from the world of nautical seamanship, and that's what's really, really, that's the central idea of that organizes all this data into something that we can remember and think about.
We're talking with Tom Rose, head of global innovation and client solutions for Achieve Forum, about his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. And of course, as I'm looking at the book, it has a nice sailboat cutting through the water, which absolutely fits with what you're talking about, Tom.
Yeah, we tried to pull those together. We did.
Yes, somebody did a good job of looking at that. Hey, you know, as you're talking about working at the leading edge, Chapter 3 says conceptual and organizational skills. And you have a quote, "The ultimate basis of success is the skipper's decisive command of himself, his boat, and the situation," of course, by Stuart
right.
Walker. That's a big deal, because I think sometimes we forget that it's not just about, you know, what you're doing yourself, about the people around you and your boat, the people that are working, but it's also the situation at hand, and that's constantly changing.
Yes, yes. And so that's absolutely the case. But so here, if I may, just a couple of quick data points from the research we did to support the book. So when we looked at the context, the work environment, and what we discovered is part of what makes this really work for organizations is that high-performing organizations build a work environment of customer-focused innovation. And I've encountered this observation and lots of interviews I've done recently as well. And so the core idea is this. Most organizations start with an innovative idea, and then they try to backfill it into some customer need. By contrast, high-performing organizations really focus on the customer's need. And by that, I don't mean simply asking the customer what they want, although that's important. So, again, a CEO acquaintance of mine basically likes to make use of Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company, his observation about customer insight. And he said, if I'd asked my customers what they'd wanted, they would have said faster horses. And so you can't just ask people what they want. You have to understand what they need. And so that's one of the critical pieces. And then once you know what that is, then you can, the second step is the organization learning component. So that's understanding how well and how not well we're meeting the needs we just identified. And with those two inputs, then you start the innovation process. So in our research, we saw 15 to 20-point gaps in the between high-performing organizations and organizations that have not yet achieved that distinction along those three things, sort of the customer focus, the organizational learning, and the innovation practices. And so, you know, that's all of us, any organization can monitor, evaluate those practices, set some targets, and start to close them. So that's one key piece of it. And then what drives all of this, obviously, is leadership behavior. And there are about 20 leadership behaviors that are really connected to making that happen. And we, again, documented them for individual leaders and then for organizations. And here's an example. Behavior models the change that I'm asking others to adopt. So when leaders are rated highly on that, they're individually rated very well by their direct reports and their organizations broadly, and then organizations that in which people describe that as a part of what leadership is are themselves high-performing. And by high-performing, I mean despite the disruption, they're achieving their revenue and profit goals over multiple years.
You know, it's interesting. As you go through the book and you look at the different formats, you do look at the different model that you have there, do you find that it is I guess the word would be simple and easy to use and execute, because as you said, the execution part is the hardest part for people to feel comfortable doing, right? It's the hardest part of somebody really going, okay, can I really implement this in an effective, fair, simple strategy across all levels within the department, the organization, the whatever the group that you're working with is? Do you find it to be something simple, easy, direct, or does it require educational to make it work?
Great question. So what I would say is it's relatively simple, but it's not, but it's challenging work to do. And most important things are. So what I mean by that is it's easy to say, here's a list of behaviors. Which of these do we think are really critical to our strategy? You can engage leadership in that question. You can clarify it with mid and first level leaders, and you can build a bit of consensus about, okay, this is what we need to do differently. Organizations do that a lot. But that's clarity alone. And clarity alone, while necessary, isn't sufficient. So as we said earlier, there are two gaps we have to close. One is the no-do gap, and the other is the impact gap. And so once again, though, we have lots of tools that are at our fingertips. Lots of HR professionals know about surveys, 360s, 180s, learning and development, action learning programs. The challenge is that, as we said early on when we were talking about HR, is we're not engaging executives about this deeply enough. We're not bringing it to them as a way to solve the immediate problems they're having. And I think that's the bigger challenge. So what it comes down to is this. You got to, from the menu of choices, you got to pick a few, decide you're going to work on them, build a robust plan that helps people with the no-do gap and the impact gap, and then soldier on using the tools and technologies we have. There are lots of ones we're all familiar with, and there are continually new and exciting ones coming on the market all the time. So I'd say that some help from an outsider can really help with all that, because anyone inside an organization can get a bit distracted by the volume of work and the pace of work, and sort of having someone to help keep you focused on true north is really, really important success factor. We know the research tells us that, and when you have access to that kind of thought partnership, you're more likely to succeed.
We're talking with Tom Rose, Head of Global Innovation and Client Solutions for Achieve Forum. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking about his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. We'll be right back on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Tom Rose. He is the author of Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. This is your first book, Tom, correct?
That's right. And published some other things, but this and been contributed to other books, but this is the first one I did myself. That's right.
Yeah. So what actually made you decide to write a book?
Well, you know, I think we're facing this really exciting new challenge, and I've watched lots of organizations in critical moments do things that made a great deal of difference and things that didn't work out so well. And so, you know, I really believe in sort of an educational mission. So what I thought I would do is survey the world and sort of figure out, well, are people experiencing the things that I'm witnessing? Turns out they are. And then can we use research to give us some tools we can use to kind of increase their success amid this age of disruption that we're facing now and will continue to face into the future? And so I guess it's a commitment to being of service to others that really is behind it all, if you really pressed me on it.
Sure. No, is it something you've always wanted to do? Did you always want to write a book?
I don't think I ever thought of it that way. I think when the ideas started to crystallize for me, then it really came to the fore. I think one thing, just a quick story around the navigational idea. So I'm with my family and my mother-in-law and the extended family on an ocean cruise. And we come to one port, and the boat stops. And so I was really fascinated by that. The boat stops, and a person gets on the boat. And what I later learned is the pilot had joined the crew and was going to guide the vessel into the final steps it needed to take to get to our port of destination. And so that really, that sort of, at the same time, I was in a leadership role, a senior HR leadership role, and we had been implementing a wide variety of changes, and more changes were coming. Some of them were the result of regulatory changes and other kinds of technology changes, and it just all came together, and I said, this is something that we should be talking about because it's key to our future, and it turns out I think that it is.
No, you're absolutely spot on. One of the things that I noticed in the book was a chapter 6 that talked about change blindness. And you, on the second page of it, which is actually page 122, you say, psychologists who study human perception have given the term change blindness to the failure to perceive what we see. And you obviously outline an example of a police car pulls over someone. They have their lights on. There's flashing going on. They've got everything going on. And they go and they talk to the person in the car. They come back. They sit in the car, and they get rear-ended by a delivery truck.
Right.
And how could that possibly be? The lights are flashing. Everything's there. You couldn't possibly not see them.
Right.
And we assume that the person didn't fall asleep at the wheel. How could you possibly not see that car? And so talk to me a little bit about this change blindness, because I think it's so relevant to what you're talking about today.
Yeah, so change blindness, as you say, it's an idea that psychologists have focused on. And what it means is that we're so focused on one feature of the environment that we miss changes in the other. So it's not an act of incompetence. It's just a feature of how human beings operate in busy environments. And so actually magicians use change blindness, right? So they're doing something with one hand while the other hand is doing something else, and that creates the magical moment. And so what we know is that we tend to view to use models we're familiar with to try to understand new problems, right? If your only tool is a hammer, you see all problems as nails. And so we tend to want to use the tools and the points of view and the problem and the solutions that we're familiar with. In the end, it comes down to change, and the only human being that likes change is a baby in a wet diaper. And so, you know, it's something that we're trying to hold on to these familiar ways of thinking and doing because they're more efficient. The challenge is when the environment changes, then those things no longer work. We tend to, as we know, as well been documented, we tend to prefer solutions that we're familiar with. We prefer seeing problems that we know how to address, and we tend to ignore the other things. And in an age of disruption, we can ill afford to do that. So that brings us then, well, how do we fix change blindness? How do we address that? And so one of the ways that we address that is that we commit ourselves to the, what people in the leadership world would call the process of kind of discovery, kind of an external orientation, to be surveying the environment deliberately for what's changing. And so if people declare that that's what they should be doing, they're more likely to do it. Often, though, we don't take that opportunity. We're so driven by the immediate pressure, we forget to scan the environment. So it's quite simple. Decide to do it and then find a way to trap those observations into the planning process. That's something that senior executives do, that sort of vigilance about the external environment. There's a kind of a new area called behavioral strategy in which, you know, researchers are trying to document, well, what is it that that really entails? And it comes down to scanning the environment, looking for what's different, what's new, an experimental attitude. I think that's the other thing that's so part of that. If you're open to, hey, that's new, let's try to do something with it in a small way, and then see if that works, then you're more successful. In fact, Clayton Crichton, who popularized the notion of disruption as a marketing strategy, basically says that organizations that are doing really well experiment in low cost and kind of crude ways of taking advantage of some opportunity they see, and when it works, then they invest the resources to make that experiment become something that's more scalable and customer friendly and so on. So I think, you know, the change blindness is not a fault of human beings. It's kind of one of the things that helps us survive. But unless we focus deliberately on the external environment, bring that reconnaissance into organizations, and then act on it, then, you know, it's difficult for us to negotiate the changes we don't see. You know, it's a bit like the Titanic problem. If you're not looking for icebergs, they can get you.
No, there's no question. And I think that is a really good illustration of exactly why you need to be shepherded through the process and why coaching and development strategies of any type, talent development strategies, are so critical for HR to drive and enforce for the C-suite.
Yeah.
To be ensuring that it's actually happening today as we retain talent and keep talent. It's just critical to making that happen.
Let me just add, one of the critical roles in all of this is often overlooked as middle-level leaders. I would say that mid-level leaders have a huge role to play in this process. And why is that? Because mid-level leaders translate big-picture strategy into action, and as they do it, they know about the practical constraints their organizations face. Very often, they're in closer contact with the customer, the supplier, the various partners that an organization uses to get work done, and often they are rich sources of data and can take action to make innovation happen in smaller and in bigger ways, and I think we overlook them to our peril today in organizations. So I just wanted to add that mid-level leaders are a critical part of this formula, and then without the first-level leaders executing those things and the kind of customer orientation and focus of the first level, or the sort of individual contributor, the person at the front lines, this whole thing, this whole leadership system fails. And so it's all about making each of those elements work together in a focused way.
And that's why it's got to start at the top, right? It's got to start with senior leadership buying in 100%. You know, I see so many strategies that sometimes are being executed by HR, being executed by level leaders, and they haven't got full buy-in from the top, and they just don't succeed.
Well, you're so right about that, but I would lay some of the fault for this on us as HR professionals. As I said earlier, right, 70% of talent management professionals find engaging senior level leaders about their talent development solutions or their talent management solutions is the biggest challenge they face. So I don't think we understand talent management. HR understands what the business priorities are. We have these great solutions. I think we're just not focused enough on connecting it to the agenda of senior level leaders. We're a bit too focused on our programs. And what's so cool about what's happening in our space today is micro learning, micro surveys, micro pulses, all of these the digital capabilities are all helping us, giving us more tools to help drive results with senior level leaders, but in the at the very beginning, we've sort of got to declare that we've really got to connect stuff to the agenda of senior level leaders, and that's the big opportunity for us as HR professionals and all of us.
We're talking with Tom Rose, his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine. DaleCarnegie.com. We're talking with Tom Rose, Head of Global Innovation and Client Solutions for Achieve Forum, about his new book, Managing at the Leading Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. Of course, after the show today, you can go to HRPowerHour.com, and you can click on his information. You can get the book. We'll have a link directly to the book site so that you can purchase it. And, of course, you'll have his contact information, which I'm sure he would be happy to talk to each and every one of you. Would you not?
Absolutely.
No problem. That would be great.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today, Tom. Can you pull together this, you know, this for us? Can you give me a synopsis of why somebody, A, should buy the book, and two, why should be something that they contact you to implement?
Sure. Thanks for that, David. Yeah, so to summarize, we face a brave new world out there. Disruption is impacting every sector of the business world. And what we know, though, is that we see executive teams see more of it coming, and that most organizations are not fully prepared to meet the challenge. We have a bit of a roadmap. We have the data that we collected that sort of highlights a way of preparing organizations to succeed amidst the uncertainty of this disruptive environment. So I think disruption is upon us and will be with us. We know that HR has a critical role to play as the stewards of leadership and culture in organizations, but there are things that we need to do differently to increase our ability to help individual leaders and teams and organizations succeed. And so we've talked about talent management doing a better job of connecting to the critical priorities of senior level leaders, to sort of focus on the goal of learning and doing at the same time with more focus than we have in the past. The second critical element is, as HR business partners, we can do a better job of helping to become transformational leaders with our own clients, helping them see problems differently and devise different solutions that take advantage of the opportunity to learn and do differently, which is what we're going to need to do to succeed in today's world of uncertain disruption. And then the third thing is, we have a set of behavioral research that tells us what the answer is, that gives us some places to start. And by picking a few of those priorities and making building quick wins and momentum part of the success formula, where we can make a difference and begin to win back some of the satisfaction that the HR community lost in the last year, at least according to the Deloitte Human Capital Survey. And I think we can then propel our organizations towards greater success. I think the big idea is to think about disruption and turbulence as more permanent. In the past, we would have thought of, you know, canoeing across a quiet lake. as the way we think about what we're doing. You know, sometimes our canoes were a bit overpacked and not quite stable in the water, but occasionally we'd see, you know, a stream would enter the lake and we have a bit of turbulence. Well, today most of us are in kayaks and we're doing whitewater rafting. It's permanent whitewater. And so we can help leaders begin to build models that help them succeed. And we've, in the book, that you'll see some of that outlined, and as you said earlier, David, I'm happy to help. So, but the story about HR is really critical, and our research is continuing. So if you'd like to participate in that research, reach out to me at tomrose@managingleadingedge.com, tomrose@managingleadingedge.com. And there's a website that's focused on the book called www.tomroseleadingedge.com. And the book's available at Amazon. And if you reach out to me, I would love to get more voices in the research. The more that we help each other figure out how to navigate this new terrain, the better off we are. Some cool ideas are happening. The more cool ideas we have, the better as a community we are. And then obviously be happy to help organizations optimize their success amidst the disruption they're facing in their unique situation.
We've been talking with Tom Brose, author of Managing at the Edge, Navigating and Piloting Business Strategy at Critical Moments. Again, you can go to hrpowerhour.com right after the show, and you'll be able to connect with all of the links and all the ways to connect with Tom. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
David, it's my great pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. It's been great fun.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. A first report of harassment is a key time in the life cycle of an internal investigation. Specifically, you are very likely dealing with a situation that has created stress in the employee's life and which may be difficult for the employee to share with you generally. Be mindful that this moment is a balancing act between thoroughly garnering as much information as possible and being supportive of the employee without unfairly prejudicing the remainder of the investigation. First, be sure that your body language and attitude conveys to the reporter that this is an important event and that you are present and listening to what is being said. Do not check your phone and email for messages during the course of the discussion or otherwise attempt to hasten the discussion. Second, you should be listening much more than you are speaking. Think 80-20 or even 90-10. When you are speaking, you should be asking questions. Who else was there? Where was it? What time did this occur? Additionally, try not to offer excuses as to why an individual acted or failed to act in a certain way. If you have more questions concerning responding to complaints of harassment, contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to further discuss.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Amy Volk, Assistant Majority Leader and Maine State Senator, discusses a Maine State legislative update. As an HR professional and business leader, are you concerned with things like paid family medical leave, minimum wage, impairment issues regarding opioid addiction and legalized marijuana, and other legislative bills in committee and on the way to a vote in Augusta? If so, listen to Amy and your host, David Chulo, discuss what is happening right now and how you can get involved. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success. And stay tuned for Inside Portland with Bob Witkowski.